RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says rupiah redomination can implement it necessarily. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expresses condolences over military plane crash. Bodies of Hercules plane crash victims to be flown to Malang. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the implementation of the rupiah redomination takes a long transition. It cannot necessarily implement after the bills has been discussed and endorsed by the government. President Joko Widodo said after inaugurating the issuance and circulations of rupiah in 2016 emissions in Jakarta, Monday, December 19. The president said it needs a transition period of about 7 years after the enactment of the law on the redomination to implement the policy. He reiterated the need for a transitional period to implement the rupiah redomination if the bill has entered into the National Legislation Program or Prolegnas and the House decided in favor of ratification. Previously, the government proposed a bill related to rupiah redomination entered Prolegnas in 2017. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi expressed deep condolences over the crash of an Air Force plane in Wamena, Papua on Sunday. President Joko Widodo hoped that the same incident would not happen again. He added that Indonesia is once again grieved over the crash of an Air Force aircraft in Wamena. The causes of the problem should be found. Such a problem could be overcome to prevent the occurrence similar incident again. The spokesman of the Regional 17th Cendrawasi Military Command, Colonel Teguh PR, confirmed that at around 8 a.m. East Indonesia time, they received information from the Air Force base in Wamena that at around 6:09, it lost contact with Hercules A-1334-NAVX-32 belonging to the Air Force while on a flight from Timika to Wamena with Major Marlon as its pilot. The plane carrying 12 people on board is believed to have lost contact while at around Mount Liswa in the Maima village Manimo, Jayawijaya. All bodies of the victims of C-130HS Hercules registered number A-1334, which crashed in Wamena, Papua at 6:09 a.m. local time on Sunday, will be flown to Malang, East Java. Abdul Rahman Saleh Air Base in Malang spokesman Major Hamdi Londong Alo said when contacted from Malang on Sunday that the bodies of the 12 victims of the airplane accident will be taken to Malang. Hamdi Londong said that they will be flown as soon as possible. He added that the bodies of the victims were now laid in one place in order to make it easier for the evacuation process. He explained, if there are members of the victims' relatives or family who want the victims to be buried in their hometowns, the officers will return them to their families or relatives and buried them in a military ceremony. It was reported earlier that Indonesian aircraft C-130 HS Hercules registered number A1334 crashed in Jayawijaya, Papua Sunday morning. CityLink, the low-cost arms of Garuda Indonesia, received 152 Chinese tourists on Sunday who traveled on board the company's maiden flight from China to the Riau Islands provincial capital of Tanjung Pinang. CityLink President Director Albert Burhan said at Tanjung Pinang's Raja Haji Visabilillah International Airport on Sunday, December 19, hope the arrival of the CityLink aircraft in Tanjung Pinang can open up the door for CityLink's regular flights to the city in an effort to support the Indonesian tourism industry. CityLink plans to bring 7,500 Chinese tourists from a number of cities including Fuzhou, Wuhan, Guiyang, Changsha, and Zhengzhou to Tanjung Pinang by March 2017. Riau Island Provincial Administration has cooperated with tour and travel agencies in China to attract more tourists. Visitors from the country do not need to apply for a visa to enter Indonesia. Police have detained dozens of people ahead of a West Papua independence protest on Monday, December 19. At least 200 people were arrested in several cities in Papua and Java, said Veronica Koman, a lawyer for Papuan independence activist Philip Karma. Monday is the 55th anniversary of the official declarations of an Indonesian military campaign to take control of Papua from the Dutch. Koman said several people were arrested last week when they applied for demonstration permits. She said the headquarters of the Pro-Independence National Committee for West Papua in Jayapura, the capital of Papua Province, was vandalized during a police raid on Monday. Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, released on Monday, December 19, 7 new banknotes and 4 coins bearing the pictures of 12 national heroes. The launch of the new notes and coins was attended by President Joko Widodo and Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo in Jakarta. The new notes are the 100,000 rupiah, 50,000 rupiah, 20,000 rupiah, 10,000 rupiah, 5,000 rupiah, 2,000 rupiah and 1,000 rupiah, while the new coins are 1,000 rupiah, 500 rupiah, 200 rupiah and 100 rupiah. Indonesia's founding fathers Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta will be featured on the 100,000 rupiah note, while Juanda, Kartawijaya and Samratulangi are on the 50,000 rupiah and 20,000 rupiah notes respectively. Other national heroes features are Franz Kaisepo, Idam Khalid, Muhammad Husni Tamrin, Cut Mutia, Igusti Ketut Puja, T.B. Simatupang, Cipto Mangunkusumo, and Herman Johannes. The last item. National flag carrier Garuda sees opportunity in opening routes from Samarinda Baru International Airport in Sungai Siring, Samarinda, East Kalimantan, using ATR aircraft to better connect the provincial capital with big cities in Java and Sulawesi. Most flights from big cities outside of East Kalimantan instead connect to Sepinggan Airport in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan's second biggest city, which hosts the operations of several oil and gas companies. Arif Wibowo, the president director of Garuda Indonesia, said recently in Jakarta that Garuda has an interest in propelling economic growth in Indonesia. Garuda, however, has yet to decide the routes from Samarinda's new airport. Samarinda's Baru International Airport is currently undergoing construction and the runway has reached approximately 1,200 meters of its targeted 2,500 meters. The soft opening of the new airport has been targeted for January 10 next year. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
This is our commentary for today entitling State Defense Day. Today, precisely December 19, 2016, Indonesia celebrates the Day of State Defense. The background of the State Defense Day is to commemorate the Declaration of Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia by Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara in West Sumatra on December 19, 1948. Later on, by the presidential's decree on December 19, 2006, the day was officially designated as the Day of State Defense. State defense is usually always associated with the military or militarism, as if the obligation and the responsibility to defend the country only lies on the military or the Indonesian National Military, whereas under Article 27 and 30 of the 1945 Constitution, state defense is the rights and obligation of every Indonesian citizen. State defense is an effort of every Indonesian citizen to defend the country against threats from both outside and inside the country. The concept of defending the country can be interpreted physically and non-physically. Physically, the state defense is done by lifting up arms against an enemy attack or aggression. Non-physically, it can be defined as any attempt to defend the nation by increasing the sense of nationalism, namely, the nation and state awareness. Instilling a love of the homeland, as well as playing an active role in advancing the nation. In this independence era, of course, the concept of defending the country that can be done by Indonesian citizens is non-physical state defense. Patriotism using domestic products, participating in maintaining the security in the neighborhood, and defending the good name of the nation are some examples of state defense that can be done by the community, especially amidst today's technological advancement. Culture and foreign influence can be easily accessed via internet, so that patriotism needs to be instilled among the society, especially among the younger generation. The act of defending the nation has just been demonstrated by Indonesian national team who competed in the AFF, Asian Football Federation Cup 2016. Despite failing to being the first winner after losing 0-2 to Thailand in the second final in Bangkok on Saturday, the struggle of the players in the national team should be appreciated. They have been trying hard to defend the name of Indonesia in the field of sports. Anything can be done by all circles of Indonesian community to defend the nation at any time and anywhere. This is in accordance with the theme of the State Defense Day 2016, namely, My Beloved Indonesia, I Defend You in My Lifetime. This theme is expected to arouse the awareness of defense the country among all components of Indonesian people to realize the development of Indonesia's character as a potential in the development of the universal national defense system. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our daily program, Today in History, of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin our program with an event that happened on December 19, 1948, when the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia was established. The Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia was established by Indonesian Republicans after the Netherlands occupied Yogyakarta in Central Java, the location of the temporary Republican capital. It was located in the city of Bukit Tinggi and led by Syafruddin Prawiranegara. The Republic of Indonesia Strategy Council had prepared an emergency plan to create a government in exile in Sumatra or overseas. Mr. Syarifuddin Prawiranegara, the Minister of Welfare, went to Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra, in preparation for this emergency plan. Before being captured by the Dutch, President Sukarno sent a telegraph message to Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara in Bukit Tinggi, giving him a mandate to create a Republic of Indonesia government in exile, but this was not received until 1949. A similar telegraph was sent to Mr. Maramis, Indonesian Minister of Finance in New Delhi, India. Based on an emergency plan, after the Dutch invasion on December 22, 1948, Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara established a government in exile called the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia in Bukit Tinggi, Sumatra. Syafruddin served as chairman of the emergency cabinet. The leaders of the emergency government moved around West Sumatra in an effort to evade arrest by the Dutch, who wanted to abolish the emergency government. In 1949, the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia contacted the leaders of Indonesian forces in Java and the Sixth Republic of Indonesia's government ministers in Java who had escaped arrest. Based on the Romroyan Peace Agreement, on July 13, 1949, Dutch troops were to be pulled out from Republic of Indonesia regions, and the Republic of Indonesia leaders were to be freed. The emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia would therefore no longer be required, and Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara disbanded the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia and returned the mandate to the President of Republic of Indonesia. The next event was in 1949 when Gajah Mada University was established. Gajah Mada University is a public research university located in Yogyakarta, special region of Yogyakarta, Indonesia. Officially founded on December 19, 1949, 3 years after its first lecture was given on March 13, 1946, it is the oldest and largest institution of higher education in Indonesia. The university is the first which was established by the Government of Republic of Indonesia after Indonesia gained its independence. Gajah Mada University was merging and re-establishment of various centers of education, high school, college in Yogyakarta, Klaten, and Surakarta. And the last event was in 1961, when Indonesia's President Sukarno decreed the establishment of the People's Triple Command or Trikomando Rakyat Trikora. Operation Trikora was a combined Indonesian military operation which aimed to seize and annex the Dutch overseas territory of Netherlands, New Guinea in 1961 and 1962. After negotiations, the Netherlands agreed on 15 August 1962 to hand over Western New Guinea to the United Nations. On December 19, 1961, Indonesia's President Sukarno decreed the establishment of the People's Tripled Command or Trikomando Rakyat Trikora in order to annex West Irian by January 1, 1963. Trikora's operational command was to be called the Mandala Command for the liberation of West Irian, with Major General Suharto, the future president of Indonesia, serving as its commander. In preparation for the planned invasion, the Mandala Command began making land, air, and sea incursions into West Irian. As a result, Indonesia embarked on a policy of confrontation against the Dutch over control of Western New Guinea. Sukarno also embarked on a policy of progressive mobilization to prepare the nation to carry out his commands. While the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia sided with the Netherlands claims to Western New Guinea and were opposed to Indonesian expansionism, they were unwilling to commit military support to the Dutch. The Dutch were unable to find sufficient international support for its New Guinea policy. By contrast, Sukarno was able to muster the support of the Soviet Union and its Warsaw Pact allies and the Non-Aligned Movement. In response to Indonesian claims, the Dutch were forced to speed up the process of preparing the West Papuans for self-rule from 1959. These measures included the establishment of Legislative New Guinea Council in 1960, hospitals and a shipyard in Manokwari, agricultural research site, plantation, and the creation of the Papuan Volunteer Corps to defend the territory. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this day in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Entitled, French will be Indonesian export gateway to Europe. Bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and France has been going on for a long time. Cooperation in defense, political, social, cultural and economic fields, until now, have made an important contribution that mutually beneficial to both countries. In fact, the value of exports, imports of both countries has reached millions of US dollars. Related to the bilateral cooperation, Indonesian Minister of Industry, Erlangga Hartarto, recently held a meeting with French Ambassador to Indonesia, Jean-Charles Bertonnier, at the Ministry of Industry in Jakarta. As quoted by Antara News, Minister of Industry, Erlangga Hartarto in Jakarta said, "France is a country that has a dynamic industry and is one of the most competitive in the world. France is ranked second, third and fourth on the European continent for the chemical industry, food industry, as well as information and telecommunication industry. Therefore, according to Erlangga, France is a strategic partner for Indonesia and can be considered to be the main gateway for the export of Indonesian products to non-traditional markets in other European countries. Erlangga said the cooperation between the two countries will increase industry and the national economy growth, and this is important in the standardization and exchange of information related to technical regulation, non-tariff measures in order to penetrate the market. In 2015, the value of Indonesia's imports from France reached $1.3 billion for aircraft components, vehicle, electronics and machinery, as well as dairy products and pharmaceutical. Meanwhile, Indonesia's exports to France reached $972 million, which includes electronic machine, footwear, rubber and rubber products, furniture, clothing and accessories, coffee, tea and spices. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto views France as an important partner of Indonesia in trade relation because it can increase the growth of industry and national economy. Additionally, Minister Erlangga said several French companies are currently operating in Indonesia, such as electrical equipment company PT Schneider Indonesia, which currently exports 75% of their productions to Asian countries, the United States and Europe. Indonesia has also become the largest production base for Schneider Electric in Southeast Asia and the third largest in Asia after China and India. Beside it, Petaweda Bay Nickel or Eramet, a French mining company, is working with Mitsubishi Corporation, Pacific Metals Co. Ltd. and PT Aneka Tambang Tbk, and supported by the regional government, has built a strategic industry in a nickel processing plant in Halmahera, North Maluku. With an investment of $6 billion, the plant will produce approximately 4.5 million tons nickel and 4,000 tons cobalt per year, and absorb 2,400 workers in the region. That was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief. I'm Dinu Graha. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the implementation of the rupiah redomination takes a long transition. It cannot necessarily implement after the bill has been discussed and endorsed by the government. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi expressed deep condolences over the crash of an Air Force plane in Wamena, Papua on Sunday. All bodies of the victims of C-130HS Hercules registered number A-1334, which crashed in Wamena, Papua at 6:09 a.m. local time on Sunday, will be flown to Malang, East Java. CityLink, the low-cost arms of Garuda Indonesia, received 152 Chinese tourists on Sunday who traveled on board the company's maiden flight from China to the Riau Island provision, capital of Tanjung Pinang. Police have detained dozens of people ahead of a West Papua independence protest on Monday, December 19. At least 200 people were arrested in several cities in Papua and Java, said Veronica Coleman, a lawyer of Papuan independent activist Philip Karma. Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, released on Monday, December 19, 7 new banknotes and 4 coins bearing the pictures of 12 national heroes. The launch of the new notes and coins was attended by President Joko Widodo and Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo in Jakarta. The last item, Indonesia flag carrier Garuda sees opportunity in opening routes from Samarinda Baru International Airport in Sungai Siring, Samarinda, East Kalimantan, using ATR aircraft to better connect the provincial capital with big cities in Java and Sulawesi. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is great to speak to you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Malang City is beautiful and is teeming with the wonders of nature such as Rogier's beaches, which are located in the south of Malang City. Besides beaches, there are many beautiful and exotic tourism attractions in Malang. Recently, the location of some waterfalls in Indonesia were spread across social media. One of those waterfalls was Coban Rais Waterfall in Malang, East Java. Listeners, the Coban Rais Waterfall is a tourist destination that provides campgrounds for visitors. Previously, this place was called Coban Sabrangan, which means that if you want to come to this waterfall, you must cross 14 rivers to get it. The Coban Rais Waterfall has crystal clear water, which falls from cracks in rocks as high as 70 meters from the ground. The waterfall itself is on the slope of Mount Pandermand, which has an altitude of approximately 1,150 meters above sea level. The Coban Rais Waterfall is located at Dressel Hamlet in the Oro Oro Ombo village, Batu City in East Java Province. The waterfall is around 25 kilometers from Malang City. Listeners, to get to Coban Rais Waterfall, tourists must trek there. Because of the difficulty in getting to Coban Rais, one should have excellent stamina and bring enough food and beverages for the trip when going down the hills and river. After arriving at the location, tourists are not only able to enjoy the scenery of the waterfall, but tourists can also view all of Malang and the surrounding area from the Gumuk Hills. The hills have a distance of around 1600 meters from the gateway of the waterfall. Listeners, the Coban Rais Waterfall Complex has been recently completed with some public facilities, such as toilet, parking space, and also food stalls, which provide refreshments of weary travelers. The entrance ticket for the waterfall is only 5,500 per person. If you drive your own car, you will be charged a parking fee of 2,000 rupiah for a motorcycle and 3,000 rupiah for car. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Coban Rais in the East Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled, Di mana letak kantor pos? Or which in English means, Where is the post office? Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Di mana? Di mana? In English, where? Kantor pos. Kantor pos. In English, post office. Maaf. Maaf. In English, sorry. Tunjukkan, tunjukkan, in English, to show. Jalan, jalan, in English, street. Terdekat, terdekat, in English, nearest. Di sana, in English, there. Naik taksi, naik taksi. In English, to ride by taxi. Dekat, dekat. In English, near. Kantor, kantor. In English, office. Jalan kaki. In English, on foot. Kendaraan umum. In English, public transport. Menunggu, menunggu. In English, to wait. Belakang, belakang. In English, behind. Pintu gerbang. In English, gate. Jalan lurus. In English, straight road. Lampu lalu lintas, in English, traffic lights. Kedua, kedua, in English, secondly. Belok kanan, in English, turn right. Seratus meter, in English, 100 meter. Sebelah kanan, in English, the right side. Now I give you an example of conversation entitled Di mana letak kantor pos, or in English means Where is the post office? The conversation is between A, Derry, and B, Tono. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Maaf, Tono. Bisa tolong tunjukkan jalan ke kantor pos terdekat? Maaf, Tono. Bisa tolong tunjukkan jalan ke kantor pos terdekat? In English. Excuse me, Tono. Can you tell me where is the nearest post office? B. Kantor pos terdekat ada di Jalan Tanah Abang 3. Kantor pos terdekat ada di Jalan Tanah Abang 3. In English, the nearest post office is in the Jalan Tanah Abang 3. A. Bisakah saya ke sana naik taksi? Bisakah saya ke sana naik taksi? In English, can I go there by taxi? B. Tidak perlu naik taksi. Tidak perlu naik taksi. In English, you do not need taxi to go there.
karena dari sini terlalu dekat. Karena dari sini terlalu dekat. In English, it is very close from here. Kamu bisa jalan kaki atau naik kendaraan umum. Kamu bisa jalan kaki atau naik kendaraan umum. In English, you can go there on foot or by public transport. Di mana saya bisa naik kendaraan umum? Di mana saya bisa naik kendaraan umum? In English, where should I stop the public transport? B. Kamu bisa menunggu kendaraan umum dari belakang kantor. Kamu bisa menunggu kendaraan umum dari belakang kantor. In English, you can wait for the public transport from behind the office. A. Bagaimana jika berjalan kaki? Bagaimana jika berjalan kaki? In English, how about on foot? B. Kalau kamu berjalan kaki dari pintu gerbang belakang kantor, jalan lurus. Kalau kamu berjalan kaki dari pintu gerbang belakang kantor, jalan lurus. In English, if you go there on foot from the back gate of the office, follow the street straightly. Sampai lampu lalu lintas kedua, belok kanan. Sampai lampu lalu lintas kedua, belok kanan. In English, at the second traffic light, you turn right. Kemudian jalan kaki kurang lebih 100 meter. Kemudian jalan kaki kurang lebih 100 meter. In English, then you go on foot about 100 meter. Kantor pos ada di sebelah kanan. Kantor pos ada di sebelah kanan. In English, the post office is located on the right side. A. Oh, baiklah. Kalau begitu, saya akan jalan kaki saja. Terima kasih. Oh, baiklah. Kalau begitu, saya akan jalan kaki saja. Terima kasih. In English, all right, so I will go there on foot. Thank you. That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. I'm Nyoko Kusumawati. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you some keroncong songs sung by Savitri. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Setangkai Bunga Anggrek by Savitri. Happy listening.
Aku ingat padamu.
Listener, orchid is a beautiful flower with a variety of shapes and colors, but the song does not tell about the beauty of orchids. The orchid flowers recalls a memory of the beautiful old days. Listener Nur Agni Savitri, or better known as Savitri, dedicates keroncong songs rap with a lounge keroncong music. The songs are also accompanied by music instruments like ukulele, flute, and violin. Firstly, Savitri not interested on keroncong. However, thanks to encouragement from parents, Savitri decided to learn keroncong music and started to love it. In fact, she said, singing keroncong is an irreplaceable pride in her life. Well, listener, let's listen to the keroncong song entitled Sampul Surat by Savitri. Happy listening. Listener, this song is about a woman who receives a letter from beloved man. It is not a letter, but only an empty cover. Although the heart shattered, the cover be retained as the memories of a lifetime. Listener, her career in music began when she was in the junior high school. Her name became famous in Semarang, Central Java. She followed radio and television star or BRTV singing contest. Love and pride for Keroncong poured into a work, namely Keroncong in Lounge album. The album was released in 2009, which contained 10 old Western Indo songs. Savitri sets the fans of Keroncong song not only among elderly, but also many young people currently love the Keroncong songs. Well, listener, to conclude our programs for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sapu Tangan dari Bandung Selatan and Cuita Malam sung by Savitri. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.